This conference will now be recorded.
I think you're muted, Jeremy.
That will help. Thank you. Thank you for that. Good morning, all. This morning, I wanted to give an exhortation on not giving up. And I want to get across three things today. I want to get across, don't give up on ourselves, not to give up on each other, and that God hasn't given up on you. And I realized that I'd put that in the wrong order. I needed to actually start with the encouragement of God has not given up on you. And I think this is beautifully summed up in the verse that is on the screen, Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is an amazing encouragement and shows us that God has not given up on us. He has decided to carry on a good work in each and every one of us. He is the God that knit us together in our mother's womb. And he will take us through childhood, through our adult lives, to be in that day of Christ Jesus in the kingdom. God has not given up on us. Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out how to get the slideshow working. In Ecclesiastes 11 verse 3, this is a verse that I always have a little bit of a laugh at whenever we read it in the readings. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, the place where it falls, there it will lie. And I always have to have a little bit of a laugh because the wisest man in the whole world wrote this verse. And it seems such a simple and such a obvious thing. But this morning I want us to put it in the context of giving up. If we take this verse and look at what it is talking about in terms of giving up, it's saying where you give up, nothing happens. You stop. You fail. And that's pretty hard thing to actually think about, where you can think of the tree and it falls to the ground and it's useless to anyone as it just sits there and rots. But in our own lives, we need to remember to not give up in that way. This is why I had the reading in 2 Samuel this morning. In 2 Samuel, we have the story of David, and he is deciding to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. I'll just look that up. David gets together the elders of Israel and he says to them, I've got a plan. We're going to bring the ark back here to Jerusalem. We're going to take take the ark and set back up the place of worship for God. And all the people will say, that's a great idea. And David obviously does his research because he goes in and he gets a new cart and he puts the ark on the cart. Now, this is interesting because his research is gained from the wrong place. The last time the ark was transported, it was transported by the Philistines back to Israel, and it was put on a cart and with oxen carrying the cart. And so David had obviously put a lot of thought into this transition. He had decided to get the ark and put it on a cart just like it had been done before. And he puts the ark on the cart, and as they're traveling, the whole of Israel are there. They're dancing and praising God. But as the oxen stumble, Uzzah puts out his hand and touches the ark, and he is put to death. And suddenly there's this moment for David of anger, turning to God, saying, I'm doing this for your sake. I'm trying to do this so that we can all honour and worship you. How is this a bad thing? How is this something that you would put a man to death over? And it all turns upside down for David in this time. And this is the moment where David could choose to give up or keep going. And at this point in time, David does give up. He turns the ark from where it was headed and he turns it off the road and drops it off because he doesn't want that. A man has died on this account. But 3 months went by and it's interesting to look and there's a parallel story in 1 Chronicles, around chapter 13. But it's quite interesting to look at this parallel because there's a three-month gap which Chronicles fills in for us. And this is where I'm going to get my opinion on what David's mindset was in this scenario. In 1 Chronicles, what happens after David drops the ark off and leaves in anger and disappointment? David comes back to Jerusalem and the king of Tyre messages him and gives him a message and says, I will give you all the cedar and things you need to build a palace for yourself. And this is what it says. It says, then David knew that God had established his kingdom. And this is what I think David's mindset was in moving the ark. David's mindset, as much as it was a good thing for him to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, David's mindset was, if I bring the ark back to Jerusalem, then the people will know God has chosen me as their king instead of Saul. He was using God as a way to prove that he was in charge of the kingdom. When we all know that the actual answer is God was in charge of the kingdom, not David. And in that 3 month period, David realizes that God had set up his kingdom. And then David goes to war with the Philistines. And at this time, David fights the Philistines, and it specifically mentions that they leave behind their idols when they're beaten, and David burns them. And this is another realization. Again, I didn't actually ask David. This is all my speculation on the story, but as he burns these idols, I think he realizes that the Ark of the Covenant is not an idol to be put up. It's a symbol of remembrance for the nation of Israel. And so in that 3 months, David has a slight shift in his mindset. And he decides, let's try again. But this time he does it differently. This time he looks to God. And he picks out the Levites to carry the ark. And he picks out some Levites to sing and dance and play music. And he lets all of Israel know again. Now, I must say, if I was in David's position here, I would be thinking to myself, well, I fell short the first time, so maybe if I don't go quite so big and quite so grand, people won't know if I fail a second time. It'd be quite easy to not be as joyous or as glad the second time. But what does David do? He puts even more effort in. He dances even more before God. And as they're carrying the ark, it says they took only 6 steps and he sacrificed to God. And that can be read in some translations like they sacrifice to God every 6 steps. In Chronicles, it says they sacrificed 7 of 2 types of animal. So whatever that is, they sacrificed an awful lot. So they were carrying an ark back. They were sacrificing to God, and they were dancing with all their might. This is the lesson for David not giving up on himself. You see, this not giving up on himself was he didn't give up on trying to bring God into his life. Now, this don't give up on yourself is not a be-all and end-all of it's only bringing God into your life, but that is the most important. And I encourage us not to give up on bringing God into our life. You see, David used a few things in this scenario to help him not give up the second time. He changed his mindset and he turned it into a praise for God. He was no longer trying to set up his kingdom by bringing the ark into his capital city. He was now trying to set up God's kingdom in Israel. And the second thing that he did is he sacrificed all the way back to Jerusalem. And you see, if he had ever decided on that way back to Jerusalem to give up and turn around, what would he have been looking at? He would have been looking at the blood of the animals that he had sacrificed and given to God. He would be looking at the remains of what was left, the sacrifices in his life that he had made to get to that point. And this is for us in our lives, wherever we are in our spiritual journey, we've made sacrifices to get to the point we're at. Please do not turn around and trample upon that blood that is in the past. Don't turn around and look at that that sacrifice that we have given and throw it away. Because that is like being that tree that falls to the south or to the north and stopping there. You see, if God has decided not to give up on you, Who are we to say we're going to give up on ourselves? And as we go through the rest of the story of King David, he talks about it talks about David giving gifts to all those around him. And he decides to help everyone, and they all are dancing and praising God together, and he gives everyone a cake. It gives everyone a cake to take home, man or woman. There's another story that I thought of, which is quite powerful in the not giving up. And it's the story of Naaman the leper. And you can find that story in 2 Kings chapter 5. But I'll quickly tell the story. Naaman has leprosy, and he's also the commander of the army of the king of Aram. And he had a slave girl that was serving to his wife. And that slave girl happened to be Jewish. And she said to her master, "I know a man in Israel who can heal your leprosy." Now, Naaman could very easily have given up on himself right there by saying, "There's a slave girl who was stolen from her land, and I don't really trust her. She's just trying to make a fool of me." He could have stopped, but he didn't. He took the advice from a lady and then went to the king of Aram, and he said, "I'm going to go to Israel to find this man that can heal me." And so they send delegations ahead, and they come to the king of Israel, and the delegation say to the king of Israel, "We know that you can heal this man of his leprosy." And the king has no clue. He tears his robes and he says, "Are they trying to pick a fight with me? Because I have no idea how to clean this man's leprosy." Again, this is another point where Naaman could have given up. He could have turned around and decided, "This is a waste of time." But a delegation comes through from Elisha. And Elisha says, "Bring Naaman to me. I'll be able to heal him of his leprosy." So, lifted spirits, Naaman goes towards Elisha. And as he's going, Elisha's servant runs out to him and he says, "If you want to be healed, go take a bath. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And then your flesh will be clean." And this is the point where we see Naaman's conflict, the decision whether to give up or not. He goes away angry, just like David had gone away angry. But he goes away angry and he says to himself, "Aren't there better rivers to bathe in? Couldn't the man of God have come out himself and waved his hand over the spot and done his little magic trick, and then I would be healed?" And he walks away in a huff. He goes away feeling sorry for himself. But his servant says to him, "What's the difference? You could have gone and bathed in a nice river. And if you had been told to do that, would you not have done it in a flash? So why don't you give this a try? What's the worst that could happen?" And so Naaman turns from his anger and decides to go scrub in the river. And I imagine the scene of scrubbing in the river. He has to dip in the river 7 times. I can imagine the first time that he went in the river, he just jumped straight in. He came up and he probably looked at his leprosy. And he thought to himself, it doesn't look any different. Am I doing something wrong? And so maybe he dipped himself in the river the second time and pick up a bit of sand or gravel and trying to rub the spot, thinking that maybe he needs to give himself a good scrub. He comes out again and still there's no difference. Can you imagine by the 6th time he's done that and not seeing any difference on his skin, how much he would be thinking, boy, I've been had. There would have been a fierce conflict inside him thinking, I really want to give up right now. But he doesn't. He dips that 7th time. And as he comes out, his skin is clean, like that of a child. This is an amazing story of a man that decided not to give up and the results that happened. But there's an awesome thought that I've had here, which you can find in Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22, where Peter asks Jesus, he says, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or in some translations, 70 times 7. Now imagine to be healed. Naaman, you need to go and forgive your brother 7 times. You need to forgive your brother 77 times. And it's just the same as his dipping in the river for us. Jesus is telling us not to give up on our brothers and sisters. He's telling us to forgive. And it's like that dipping in the river. The first time, it could be quite easy to just say, yes, I forgive. The second time you dip in that river, it's a lot easier to think, maybe I need to do a bit of cleaning. So that way I fix the problem. Because you know what, this is becoming a bit of a problem. I've had to forgive twice. How easy is it by the time you get to the 6th time to say, you know what, I've had enough. I give up on my brother. What we ask to do isn't easy. But it is possible. And you see, just like that story of Naaman, if we forgive our brother that many times, it might just be that 7th time when they come back up, they're clean. It might just be that they have turned from their ways. Please don't give up on each other. Because God hasn't given up on you. At the end of that story with King David, he gave out the cakes to each person. This again was his look on don't give up on each other. So I'm asking us all today 3 things. I'm exhorting. Don't give up on yourself. keep striving spiritually forward. Don't walk back on that old road. Don't give up on your brothers and sisters. Because God hasn't given up on us. Now I want to conclude looking at Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. This is a really amazing section, and it sums this up nice, very beautifully. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Don't give up on yourself, because your body can be washed with that pure water. And continuing on, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. God has promised and he is faithful. He has not given up on us. And then verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting with one another, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's not give up on each other, because we can see that day approaching, and it is coming. So as we've walked this path this morning, remembering God's goodness and thinking about how we need to persevere and not give up, let us remember Jesus, who saw what was before him. And for that joy, he made the sacrifice. So let us remember his body and blood as we look to these emblems. Thank you.